that's a good lead-in, I guess.
Yeah, it is.
To my next guest here. We have got the founders of Mystic Studios. We have got Kaylin Fair, the studio's creative director, and Marenton Fair, technical director.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having us.
You guys made the drive down from Spiritwood today?
Yeah. We live about 20 minutes north of Spiritwood, Saskatchewan.
Tiny little town called Leoville.
Oh, sure. Everybody knows Leoville.
Yeah, of course.
For some reason, yeah.
There's a lot of smart people come out of Leoville. Yeah. I can say that because I work with one of them here.
Oh, really? Oh, that's so cool.
Okay, so let's talk about your business, your company. First off, Mystic Studios. What is it?
Yeah, so we're a small Indigenous team of four people. We have me, the creative director, Kaylin, and Marenton, who is a technical director. We also have a junior member on our team, Xander, and a artist named Kane on our team as well from Big River.
Okay.
And we're a small team that makes cozy, comfortable simulation type games. So we want people to really feel at home in the games that we make and feel like they have, you know, some familiarity with the topics that we do as well. Very cozy, warm vibes.
Nice. So no shoot 'em up explosions.
No, it's kind of more wholesome, more wholesome vibes. Definitely really warm and cozy. And the game that we're working on is cooking focused. So
this
definitely
is the Kitch Witch?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, tell me more about Kitch Witch.
Yeah, for sure. So Kitch Witch is a cozy cooking game. You play as a young witch who inherits her grandmother's culinary clinic, and you are tasked with healing adventures with the power of magic food. So that's your whole job. So you have adventurers that will come in who need your help, and you will heal them with the magical food that you create. And you have to forage and farm for your own ingredients and everything. It's just like very narrative focused as well. So every person that you heal will remember you and will remember what you did for them, and you can talk to them later on. So just very, narrative focused.
So is it an educational type game, would you say?
There is some. So we do want to be able to educate on some Indigenous cultural topics. So especially regarding Plains Cree and Northern Mi'kmaq, we plan to put into the game in the future. However, we do want to make it a little less like obviously educational. It's kind of just more like you'll learn through happenstance throughout the game. So everything is inspired by our culture, but isn't like direct in your face. So we want people to kind of be, I don't know, learning, but like not know that they're learning. So yeah.
Is it directed more for young people?
Yeah. I'd say that it's directed for a pretty wide audience.
Yeah. It touches on some heavier themes of like grief and, getting over, lost loved ones. I think that it's probably more targeting that like young teen to, you know, as old as gamers can be.
Yeah. So what inspired you to make this particular game?
Yeah, so Kitch Witch is inspired by my life and our life. We live, you know, in rural Saskatchewan, and we garden and farm for our own food that we use in our own cooking. Yeah. And we were like, this would be so cool if this would be a game. So we started kind of, you know, workshopping it, and we're like, how do you make a cooking game interesting and fun? And we were like, what if it was magic? So, and then we got all into talking about magic, and how that can be incorporated into a cooking game. But yeah, it really just came down from like the roots of the way that we live our own lives and living off of the land. And I feel often when I like make soup for someone who's sick, like that I am healing them with my food. So, you know, it all came down to that.
Just that's lovely.
Like,
that's lovely.
Yeah.
What kind of a time commitment does it take to build a game like this?
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
You wanna speak to that?
Yeah. So I'm our like lead developer, sort of technical guy. So I do all of the programming. And I'm working on it constantly. I mean, I think I put in probably 50 hours a week or more. But it's very sporadic, and like sometimes I'll work 3 hours and then I won't work for a couple hours, and then I'll work, you know, work in bursts,
creative,
and then late at night and you know, whatever. Long hours. I think that we're about 5 months into development, and we're not going to be releasing until next fall.
Yeah,
it's a lot of time, and it is a big commitment. I actually quit my job to work on this game. So, you know, it's my whole life now, and it's your whole life too. Yeah. But our other members are more part-time. But sure. Yeah, for us, yeah, full-time, full, like, pedal to the metal. We're working on it all the time.
But I think your story is probably an inspiration to someone who may be listening and saying, yeah. So these guys have set up a video game studio in small town Saskatchewan.
Yes. Yeah.
So
yes.
Anybody can do that.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, we really think that, like, anybody can learn how to make games. I think that there are so many good free tools out there. We use the Godot editor, and so that tool is for making games, and it's free to use. So, like, I'd recommend anybody, if they would like to give it a try, to try downloading that software or download. We use Blender to make our 3D models, and that's also a free software. So, you know, we really are big advocates of anybody can do that. Anybody can make their dreams a reality.
The barrier to entry for making video games has never been lower, really.
Yeah.
And there's lots of, like, free open source software, meaning you don't have to pay for a license.
Right.
You can just use the software, use it for commercial projects or whatever you want.
So, and how do you market it then? You've developed this game in small town Saskatchewan. How you get it out to the world?
Yeah, so we take a couple different routes moving forward into it. We do, you know, reach out to press and stuff and do those normal things.
Yeah.
But we also are really big into social media. So on TikTok, Instagram, we're on there. We're always posting gameplay videos just to see, like, if what people will be interested in, trying to do different ways of doing that. We also have, like, little blogs that we run as well, talking about the development of the game. I think that something with us, which maybe isn't seen as often in our industry, is that we're talking about the game, like, from the moment that we started making it. And so,
that's impressive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about it, and we're putting video and stuff out there in an early state so that people kind of get the vibe and are interested in kind of creating it with us in a way.
Yeah. We're really interested in, like, gathering as much, like, feedback as we can from people and, like, getting it in front of as many eyes as we can early on so that we can, gather as much of that feedback and use it to make our game even better.
Is this your first game?
Yeah, so this is the first game that we've worked on as a team together.
Yeah.
I've been working in the games industry for the past 6 years.
Really?
So I used to work at Noodle Cake Studios in Saskatoon.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed it. I learned a lot working there, and I thought, you know, I have this game idea and I really want to work on it full time with these people.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, let's just do it.
So
I have worked on other games in the past. But this is our first game altogether. So, yeah.
Do I dare mention artificial intelligence in this?
You can mention it. Yeah, yeah.
You can mention it. We're keeping it at, like, a, you know, a, like, 10
arms
foot
length.
Pole. Yeah,
yeah,
arm's
yeah.
length.
Yeah, yeah, like, I think it's a reality of today's landscape, technological landscape, is that AI is present and it's here
and it's being used.
Mm-hmm. I think that for us, we kind of want to take a more holistic approach to our game development. We find that it's more fun to learn to actually use the tools and actually create something and create art than it is to type a prompt into an AI system and get it to make something for you. I think that the process of creating is what really excites us.
Absolutely.
So that's, you know, we don't use AI in our games. We don't plan to. It's something that some people do, and that's, you know, totally their choice to do it. But that's just something that we value is not using it and handcrafted art. Yeah.
And we were chatting earlier, but I think you're seeing a bit of a pushback in some areas of people saying, oh, it's AI, I don't want to use it. And I suspect maybe in your world, that may be it too.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, in the video game industry, like, Marenton was saying earlier, it is really split down the middle. I think that some people think it's a great tool and they use it all the time. And then there's other people that are like, no, I really want to be able to make it and be able to call it my own and have it be mine and have the art, you know,
have it come from your brain.
Have it come
from
your own brain and not from this machine, right? So, I think that there is, like, a bit of a split down the industry. I think that we all try and be respectful of each other and how we want to make games. I think that if somebody wants to use AI, you know, that's their own choice. But for us, it's just something that we value to not do.
Keeping it pure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Kaylin Fair and Marenton Fair, the founders and people behind Mystic Studios, joining us talking about their game development. And it's an interesting culture that you're part of now, I'm guessing, in the gaming world. You've been to a few shows, different events, and you've got another one coming up.
Yeah. So we're going to Gamescom in Germany in August. We are going with the Canadian Interactive Alliance's Gamescom IP Accelerator, as well as we're supported by Sask Interactive and Creative Saskatchewan to go as well. So yeah, it's going to be really great. It's the first time we've been overseas. It's the first time we've shown our game to a European audience. So it'll be really exciting. Yeah.
Super exciting.
That is awesome. So yeah. For someone who's listening right now, I'm assuming probably a younger person. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, what kind of advice would you give to somebody who thinks, boy, the world of gaming, I'm so good at this game. Would I be good as a game developer?
Yeah.
Any advice?
Yeah, I think that, you know, before I worked in the games industry, I was working in social work and psychology, and I really enjoyed it, but I did want to do, I thought, you know, video games, like, that doesn't seem like something I can do. I don't know if I can do that. And I was like, I'll just give it a try. I'll apply for a job and we'll see. And I think that if you give yourself a chance to learn, you know, new skills and you just put little work in, just little bits at a time, mm-hmm. like you can get to a place where you can make games. I think that anybody can make a game if they really, really want to. Mm-hmm. I really do believe that. And I think that there's lots of resources out there if you would like to learn. There's lots of free resources on YouTube. There's free software you can use. There's also, you can join a game jam. You know, if you want to make a game with like three of your friends, you can sign up for a game jam and just make a game in like 24 hours or a week something.
For people that don't know, a game jam is just you get together with a bunch of developers and then you make a game within a time limit. Like within a weekend or within 24 hours, and it has to match a specific theme. And so these happen all the time, online or otherwise.
Yeah, that's
and
kind
it's a
of
great
how,
way to get started with
that's kind of how like we got started making games as a group was doing game jams. And I think that a lot of people do start that way, and some of your favorite games that are out there started as a game jam, you know. So
that's awesome. So one final question, looking back over the few years now that you've been operational and you're working on your first game, any one thing that surprised you or a roadblock came along you went, ooh, maybe this isn't for me?
I think that I don't think that I've had any like roadblocks necessarily. I think that like working in this industry as a woman can be difficult sometimes. I think that, you know, there is like this sort of boys club vibe to these technological sort of industries. But I think that for me, like I've been really supported as well by my community, and that just makes it all the more easier. And yeah, I don't know. Like, have you had any roadblocks?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's been surprisingly smooth sailing.
Yeah.
Like shockingly, I find that like funding opportunities are a little bit limited in Saskatchewan, but that is getting better over
time.
But
good stuff.
Yeah, it's going very smoothly, and we're looking forward to sharing more.
Yeah, we've really been enjoying working all together, and working from home has been really nice.
Yeah.
You know, being able to work on your own schedule, but also, like, you know, have room for those 5 a.m. like coding
crazy,
at your computer, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And you've got good high-speed internet in Leoville?
Actually, we do have pretty good internet. It's pretty all right.
We use satellite internet. Yeah, it does the job.
It does the job, I think that, you know, hopefully, I think that internet connectivity, that's a whole new topic, but I think everyone should have access to the internet, but that's a whole different thing.
You
but,
two are just a delight. Thanks for making the trip in here today.
Of course. Thank you so much.
Good luck with your game development and have fun in Germany at the end of August.
Awesome.
Thank you
so much.
Kaylin Fair and Marentin Fair, the founder and the people behind Mystic Studios and their new game, Kitch Witch. We'll watch for it.
Thank you.
This is the Evan Bray Show on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.